You are 60 miles from home, halfway through your second solo cross country, and the only person who knows exactly where you are is you. Maybe your instructor has a general idea. Maybe you told someone at the FBO you were heading south. But right now, at this moment, nobody with a radar screen is watching your little blip move across the landscape. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, and this is Radio Hangar today. We are going to talk about the single easiest thing you can do to make every cross-country flight safer, and it costs you nothing but a radio call. We are talking about VFR flight following. Before we get rolling, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. If you have been stacking up milestones in your training, solo, written exam, first cross-country, they make challenge coins for every one of those achievements. It is a great way to mark the moments that actually matter. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. All right, flight following. Let me start with why this matters. Because I think a lot of students either do not know it exists or they are intimidated by the idea of talking to approach control. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. You do not need to file an instrument flight plan. You do not need any special equipment beyond a transponder and a radio. You just need to ask flight following, formally called VFR Radar Advisory Service, means that a controller at an approach facility or a center facility is watching your target on radar. They see you, they see the traffic around you, and when something is headed your way, they call it out. That is the core of it. A second pair of eyes, except these eyes have radar. Now let me be clear about something, because this trips people up. Flight following is not air traffic control in the way you think of it when you hear airliners talking to center. You're still VFR. You're still responsible for see and avoid. The controller is not separating you from other traffic the way they would if you were on an instrument flight plan. What they are doing is providing traffic advisories on a workload permitting basis. That phrase, workload permitting, is important. We will come back to it. But first, let us walk through how you actually get flight following, because the radio call is where most students freeze up. You have two options. You can request it on the ground before you depart, or you can pick it up in the air. Let us start with picking it up in the air, because that is the more common scenario for a VFR cross-country. Step 1, you need to know what frequency to call. This is part of your pre-flight planning before you leave the ground. Look at your sectional chart. Find the approach control facilities along your route. Their frequencies are listed right there on the chart, usually near the Class Charlie or Class Bravo airspace depictions. If you're not near any of those, you can look in the chart supplement, what we used to call the airport facility directory, for the nearest approach frequency. You can also simply ask the tower or ground controller at your departure airport. Say, I would like to pick up flight following. Can I have the frequency for approach? They will give it to you. Step 2, you make the call, and here is where I want to take the fear out of this. The call has 4 pieces of information. Who you are calling, who you are, where you are, what you want. It sounds like this. Kansas City Approach, Cessna 17234 Alpha, 10 miles south of Lee's Summit, level at 4,500. Request VFR flight following to Columbia Regional. That is it. You just told them everything they need. The facility name, your full call sign, your position, your altitude, and your destination. Some pilots also include their aircraft type in the initial call, which helps the controller, because they know what kind of target to expect on their scope. The controller will respond in one of a few ways. If they can take you, they will say something like, Cessna 34 Alpha, Squawk 4217, Columbia Altimeter 3002. They give you a transponder code, they give you the local altimeter setting, and now you're in the system. They see you. From this point on, they will call out traffic for you and hand you off to the next controller as you fly through different sectors. Now, here is the part nobody tells students. Sometimes the controller will say, unable flight following at this time, remain clear of Class Charlie airspace. That workload permitting phrase I mentioned earlier, it is real when the controller is slammed with traffic, IFR arrivals stacking up, weather deviations everywhere. They can say no. And that is, okay, you are VFR, you were going to fly this route anyway, you just will not have the extra service. Thank them, read back the instruction, and continue on your way. You can always try again in a few minutes or try the next sector. Here is something I want you to understand about controllers, and this changed my whole relationship with the radio when I was a student. Controllers, the vast majority of them want to help you. They know you are a student or a low-time pilot. They hear it in your voice, and most of them would rather have you on their frequency where they can see you and help you than have you bumbling around in their airspace as an unknown target. You're not bothering them. you are making their job easier by being visible. Let us talk about what happens once you're on flight following, because there are some things you need to know to use it well. First, you will hear traffic calls. The controller will say something like Cessna 34 Alpha, traffic, 11 o'clock, 5 miles, southbound altitude indicates 4,300. They are using the clock position relative to your nose. 11 o'clock means just left of straight ahead. 5 miles gives you the distance. Southbound tells you the direction the traffic is moving, and the altitude they are reading it off their scope, so it is approximate. Your job is to look for that traffic. If you see it, you say, Cessna 34 Alpha, traffic in sight. If you do not see it, you say Cessna 34 Alpha looking or negative contact. Both are acceptable. Do not lie. Do not say traffic in sight if you do not actually have eyeballs on the airplane. That defeats the entire purpose. Second, you need to stay on the assigned transponder code and on their frequency. This seems obvious, but here's where students make mistakes. Let us say you need to switch to an AWOS frequency to get weather at your destination. You need to tell the controller, say, Cessna 34 Alpha request frequency change to monitor Columbia weather. They will approve it. You listen to the weather, and then you come back and check in. Do not just disappear off the frequency. The controller will think something happened to you, and that creates problems for everyone. Third, altitude changes. If you are on flight following and you need to climb or descend, it is good practice to let the controller know. You are VFR, so technically you can change altitude whenever you want, but the controller is providing traffic advisories based on where they think you are. If you suddenly drop 500 feet without telling them, the picture they have of your flight is wrong, and the traffic calls they give you might not be accurate. A simple Kansas City Center Cessna 34 Alpha, leaving 4,500 descending to 3,500 keeps everyone on the same page. Let me talk about the practical benefits on a cross-country, because this is where flight following really earns its keep. Benefit number one, traffic awareness. This is the obvious one. You are flying through areas where other airplanes are, and you might not see all of them. The controller can, especially in hazy conditions, where visibility is technically VFR, but your ability to pick out a white Cessna against a white sky is basically zero. Those traffic calls can save your life, and I am not being dramatic. Mid-air collisions in VFR conditions remain one of the deadliest categories of general aviation accidents. The 10-degree traffic scan we all learned is good, but radar is better. Benefit number two, airspace awareness. When you are on flight following, the controller will often clear you through airspace that would otherwise require you to make separate calls. If your route takes you near or through a Class Charlie surface area, the controller working you is often coordinating with the tower so you can transit without switching frequencies and making a separate request. This simplifies your workload enormously on a busy cross-country. I have had controllers proactively call the tower ahead of me and say, "You are cleared through the Charlie, maintain current altitude." That is a gift. Benefit number three, help when things go wrong. If you get disoriented, if your GPS quits, if you have an engine problem, if weather starts closing in ahead of you, you're already talking to someone who knows exactly where you are. You do not have to fumble for a frequency. You do not have to figure out who to call. You just key the mic and say, "I need help." The controller can give you vectors to the nearest airport. They can tell you the weather at fields you cannot see. They can coordinate emergency services if it comes to that. This alone makes flight following worth requesting on every single cross-country. Benefit number four, and this one is for the practical-minded students. It looks good on the check ride. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Cross-Country Task specifically reference the use of available resources and services. The examiner is looking for a pilot who knows what tools are available and uses them. Requesting flight following demonstrates situational awareness and good decision-making. It tells the examiner you're the kind of pilot who stacks the deck in your favor. Now, let me walk you through a scenario, because I think this makes the concept stick. You're planning a cross-country from a small, uncontrolled field to another airport about 120 nautical miles south. Your route takes you past a Class Charlie airport about 40 miles into the flight, and then through mostly rural airspace the rest of the way. You have done your planning, you have your nav log, you have checked weather and NOTAMs. Your weight and balance is good. You're ready. You depart, climb to your cruise altitude of 5,500 feet, and once you are clear of the traffic pattern, you dial up the approach frequency you wrote on your nav log during pre-flight planning. You make the call. They give you a squawk code. You are in the system. 20 minutes later, you hear traffic. 2 o'clock, 8 miles, opposite direction, type unknown, altitude indicates 5,000. You look. You do not see it. You say, looking. A minute later, the controller says, traffic now, 1 o'clock, 3 miles. You look harder. There it is, a low-wing airplane headed right at you, slightly above. You would have eventually seen it, probably. But the controller cut your search time in half and told you exactly where to look. As you approach the Class Charlie airspace, the controller says, Cessna 34 Alpha, cleared through the Bravo airspace. Wait, I'm sorry. Cleared through the Charlie, maintain 5,500. You do not have to descend to stay under the shelf. You do not have to deviate around it. You fly right through, smooth and simple. 60 miles from your destination, the controller says, Cessna 34 Alpha, radar service terminated, squawk VFR, frequency change approved. They are handing you back to yourself because you are leaving their coverage area or they are getting too busy. You thank them, switch your transponder back to 1200 and continue on your own. But for the bulk of that flight, someone was watching. Let us walk through this together on what to do if you are at a towered airport and want flight following from the start. This is even simpler when you call ground for your taxi clearance. Include it in your request. Say ground. Cessna 17234 Alpha at the south ramp. VFR to Columbia Regional. Request flight following. Ground will either give you the squawk code right there, or they will tell you to contact departure on a specific frequency after takeoff. The tower and approach facilities coordinate this stuff behind the scenes. By the time you're airborne, you're already on radar with a code and a controller watching you. Here is one more thing I want to address, because I have heard students say this and it drives me a little crazy. Some students think requesting flight following means they are not a real VFR pilot, like it is a crutch, like asking for help is admitting weakness. That is completely backwards. The best pilots I know, the ones with thousands of hours and gray hair and logbooks thicker than phone books, they request flight following on every VFR cross country, every single one. It is not a crutch, it is a tool. The FAA provides the service specifically for general aviation pilots. Using it is not a sign of weakness. Ignoring it is a sign of ego, and ego has no place in an airplane. A few practical tips before I wrap up. Write the approach frequencies on your nav log before you leave the ground. Do not be the pilot trying to unfold a sectional chart in turbulence to find a frequency while flying the airplane. Practice the initial call on the ground before you key the mic. Seriously, say it out loud, who you are calling, who you are, where you are, what you want. Get it smooth before you transmit. If the controller is talking fast and you miss something, ask them to say again. They will. It is their job. If you are handed off to a new controller and you check in, include your altitude, facility name, your call sign, your altitude, that gives the new controller a quick snapshot. And if you are terminated or the controller says unable, do not take it personally. Try again in 10 minutes or try the next sector. This is one of those topics where the information came straight from the Aeronautical Information Manual, specifically Chapter 4, Section 1, and the Airman Certification Standards. If you want to dig deeper, those are your sources. This has been Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. You can find more at radiohangar.com. Go request flight following on your next flight. Every flight. Make it a habit, and I promise you will wonder how you ever flew without it. Fly safe out there.